From the college campuses of Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and the University of Maryland at College Park, Maryland, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, transcribed, the best brains of the University of Maryland are going to do their best to upset the varsity scholars of Brown University, College Quiz Bowl winners for the last 5 weeks. And here in Radio City, New York, loaded with questions, is our master of the College Quiz Bowl, Alan Ludden.
Hi there, everybody. It's nice to have you with us for tonight's intercollegiate battle of brains. Now, let's meet tonight's challengers down there in College Park, Maryland. On hand to serve as Maryland's referee is Max McGarry of station WRC in Washington, D.C. How do things look, Max?
Well, just fine, Alan. I'd say that these Maryland students will give an excellent account of themselves. Here they are to say hello.
This is William Offutt from Bethesda, Maryland.
Eda Offutt, Bethesda, Maryland.
Don Piper from Hyattsville, Maryland.
Ken Stunkel, Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, there we have the Maryland team, complete with a husband and wife combination. Now let's switch to Russ Van Arsdale of station WJAR Providence, who is standing by up there again to act as referee for the Brown Pembroke team. Are you with us, Russ?
I certainly am, Alan, and though we can't boast of a married couple, we've got a mixed team which has proved it can work together pretty well. I'll let them introduce themselves. First, the Pembroke ladies.
Judy Thorson, Brooklyn, New York.
And Jane Baltzell, Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
And the men from Brown.
Tom McCormick of Stamford, Connecticut.
And Cal Woodhouse of Little Compton, Rhode Island.
All right, we've met both teams. Now, Before Roger Tuttle explains our quiz bowl rules, may I point out that we recognize full well that in putting the emphasis here on the quick recall of specific facts, we are pointing up only one of the objectives of college education. We are likewise trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities to be found on every American campus. Now, how about those rules, Roger?
Right, Alan, and here they are. Alan Ludden asks a toss-up question worth 10 points. And the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Brown University signals, you'll hear... And when the University of Maryland signals, you'll hear... And by means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. The team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Roger. And remember, may I interrupt? When you interrupt a toss-up question before I have finished asking it, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points and the other team will get a free crack at it. Is that clear? Okay, those are the rules. And that's the opening whistle, so let's go. But first, may I tell you that coming up, your first bonus question tonight is worth 40 points. Now, here is your toss-up question. Secretary of Defense Wilson was recently embarrassed to discover that the Pentagon was selling pictures of the Maryland.
Bill Offutt.
Quack Corporal.
All right. I can't accept that question, Bill, that answer, Bill, because that is not the answer I was looking for. It does concern the WAC corporal. But my question was, which you interrupted before I had finished, why was he embarrassed? Now, if Brown can take that, they get the 10 points. Why was he embarrassed about pictures of the WAC corporal?
We'll try, Alan. Tom McCormick here.
Well, the WAC corporal turned out to be male.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're going to have to penalize Maryland 5 points, but we do not give Brown the 10 points because the WAC corporal is a guided missile that was on the secret list, and its picture was declassified and was being sold by mistake, and that is why Secretary of Defense Wilson was embarrassed. Okay, we're going back now to another toss-up question, and coming up still is a 40-point bonus. Here we go. 7 ladies and 3 gentlemen told 10 tales a day for 10 days. We'll give you 10 points, Maryland.
Ken Stunkel.
Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
I'm sorry, Ken, the answer is incorrect. You interrupted before I finished, and so I have to penalize you 5 more points, and I'm going to finish the question for Brown. We're going to give you 10 points now, Brown, if you can tell us the name of their stories. I'll read the question. Seven ladies and three gentlemen told 10 tales a day for 10 days. What is the name of their story?
Calwood House.
That's Decameron.
That's right. That's the Decameron by Scott. 10 points for Brown. Good try, Marilyn, but you just missed a little there. Okay, here we go now, Brown, with a 40-point bonus. Four parts. You know, for the past few weeks, the weathermen's most dire prophecies have come true. There have been avalanches in Italy and Switzerland, ice on the Hudson River, and snow everywhere, even south of Maryland. Now, we will describe four literary compositions which include in their titles the word snow. And we'll give you 10 points for each one that you identify correctly along with the author's name. Now, remember that it's important to identify the composition and to give us the author's name. First of all, a novel by an Italian revolutionary writer. For 10 points.
Red Snow.
The snow is in the title. That happens not to be it. Brown Pembroke, can you find it? You lost it? Okay, it's The Seed Beneath the Snow by Ignazio Cellone. All right, here, for 10 more points. A short story by...
Snows of Kilimanjaro.
Well, let me finish the question, but that happens to be it. A short story by a contemporary American author recently in the news and is The Snows of Kilimanjaro by Ernest Hemingway. Well, you got that 10 points very quickly. All right, see if you can get 10 points with this one. We want you to tell us the poem, Our Winter Idol, by a 19th century American poet.
Snowbound.
By Whittier.
All right, Snowbound by Whittier. May I remind our listeners that on a bonus question... On a bonus question, the team may work together. All right, here's the last one for 10 points. It's a war story about a bird, an ugly man, and a little girl written by an ex-sports writer. A wonderful story. The Snow Goose by Paul Gallico. Okay, we're going back now to a toss-up question, and coming up is a 15-point bonus. Back to the toss-up questions on your toes. I'm going to name 5 cities, and for 10 points, you are to tell us which one is farthest south. Paris, Venice, Seoul, Madrid, and Washington, D.C. Brown Pembroke.
Tom McCormick here.
Washington, D.C.
Can you take it, Maryland? Can you take it, Maryland?
Don Piper.
Madrid.
I'm sorry you both missed it. It's Seoul, since Seoul is south of the 38th parallel and all the others are north of it. Okay, we're going back to a toss-up question. Coming up still is a 15-point bonus. Now I'm going to read you a list of purchases that you might make at a country fair. For 10 points, you are to tell us how many horses you bought if you ordered a Merino, a Cheviot, a Buff Orpington, a Percheron Norman, and a Hamiltonian. Maryland.
Bill Offer.
3.
Can you take it, Brown?
We'll try. Tom McCormick here.
I'll say 4.
You'd say wrong. It's 2 horses. Hamiltonian and Percheron Norman are horses. The Merino and the Cheviot are sheep, and the Buff Orpington is a chicken. Okay, here we
back
go.
Back to the farm.
Back to a toss-up question, and still coming up is a 15-point bonus. For 10 points now, you are to tell us why. Why is the biblical site of Aceldama known as the Field of Blood? Brown Pembroke.
Jane Balsall.
It's where Judas hanged himself.
I'll accept that. It's the reputed field. If it was a potter's field, it was purchased by Judas with the blood money he received for his betrayal of Christ. Okay, Brown Pembroke, you now have a chance at a 15-point bonus, and this one's a little different. I'm going to give you a sequence of numbers, and for 15 points, you are to give me the number which must logically follow in this sequence. Okay, here's the sequence. 1, 3, 6, 10, 15, 21, and what?
28.
All right, 28. Okay, would you mind explaining that, one of you gentlemen?
You started with 1, you added 2, you added 3, you added 4, you added 5, you added 6, you added 7. 7 and 21 make 28.
That's right, for 15 points. Now, before we get along to another toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this quiz game. Roger?
Each week, NBC will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. Now, it may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches. since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes. Now with a score, Maryland minus 10, Brown 55, with 17 and a half minutes to go, we go back to a toss-up question. Alan?
Okay, may I tell you that coming up next is a 30-point bonus question, and here is your toss-up question. This lady's business was solving problems, but your problem for 10 points is to tell us the more famous pen name of Elizabeth Meriwether Gilmer. Brown Pembroke.
Tom McCormick.
Dorothy Dix.
Right for 10 points, Brown Pembroke. Okay, Tom McCormick, you got by recognizing Dorothy Dix's real name a chance at a 30-point bonus question. I want all of you Brown Pembroke team now to everybody get on your toes because we're going to dance. We're going to play three popular tunes, and you're going to tell us what dance step you would do to each one. First, what would you do on the dance floor if you heard...
Samba.
Samba. Samba to Chico Tito.
That's right. Right for 10 points. Now, tell us, what dance step would you do if you heard this music?
Evening breeze.
Foxtrot.
Foxtrot.
Waltz.
Foxtrot.
Waltz. I've got to accept. I'll accept the waltz. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Tenderly was written in 3/4 times and is played there in 3/4 times. You would waltz to it. Now, I'm going to ask that you give me one answer on this.
Can we confer, huh?
You can confer. Okay. Listen to the music and confer. But because I did not warn you that I want one answer, and I should have, I think, I want one answer on this. So confer before you speak, because on this bonus, I'm going to take the word you give me. Now, what would you do in the dance floor if you heard?
That's the Lindy.
All right. That's the
Lindy hop.
I'm sorry. That is not the Lindy. That's a new dance called the Creep.
Oh.
I think you might be interested in case you'd like to do the Creep. And a quick review of the instructions. The partners stand 1 foot apart, right hand slightly on partner's shoulders, left hand loosely joined, fingers lightly clasped, relaxed, and dropped towards the floor. Boy always moves backwards. 2 steps back, pause, and then 1 short step to either side and repeat this figure. That's the Creep. Okay,
I believe it. I really do.
Okay, the score now stands minus 10, 85 for Brown. Here we go back with a toss-up question and a 40-point bonus coming up. For 10 points, portrait of the artist as a young man was to James Joyce as portrait of the artist as a young dog. Brown Pembroke?
Tom McCormick here.
Was to Dylan Thomas.
Right for 10 points, Brown Pembroke. You interrupted the question, but you finished it for me, and you answered it correctly, and you have now a chance at a 40-point bonus. Now, the captain of a cargo ship made 4 trips to ports in different parts of the world to pick up freight. We're going to give you 10 points each time you can identify the cargo he would most likely load on his ship at the following places. Santos, Brazil.
Coffee.
Right. Aruba in the Netherlands Antilles.
Rubber.
No.
Sugar.
This
I'm
is
oil. Oil.
What?
Oil.
Can I accept oil, Mr. Gregor? All right, I'll accept oil. All right. Quickly, we're going to have to work fast on this. If you correct yourselves fast, you'll be all right. All right. What would he load on his ship most likely at Narvik, Norway?
Lumber. Fish.
I'm sorry. Steel. Steel. Okay, most likely, what would he load on his ship at Newcastle on Tyne, England?
Coal.
Right, of course, for 10 points, okay? Back to a toss-up question. Here we go. Recently, the Russian government used its veto against a motion to permit Israel to construct a power project. For 10 points, how many times has Russia now used its veto in the... Brown Pembroke.
Tom McCormick here.
57 times.
Right for 10 points, Brown Pembroke. Okay, Brown, you want a chance? You want a chance now at a 20-point bonus. Here we go. This man of Osawatomi was hung for conspiracy, murder, and treason. But despite this unseemly end, his deeds have been commemorated in a famous song and in a long poem which has been staged as a play. For 20 points. What's his name?
John Brown.
That's right. John Brown. 20 points.
Okay, we better review the score, Roger.
Right now, Alan, Brown is ahead with 155 points. Maryland is still trying. They're minus 10 right now. We have 4.5 minutes to go. Oh, and that's just about time for the halftime whistle, which calls for a one-minute timeout.
Okay, we're going to move down during this one-minute timeout down to College Park, Maryland, to meet tonight's challenging team. You know, the first bowl, you are the first bowl team from the University of Maryland since the one that went to the Orange Bowl, and I want to talk to you people. I'm sure all of our friends would like to meet you and know more about you. Bill Offit, I'm going to start with you. Would you tell us what you intend to do when you finish college?
Well, I want to teach history, sir, but talking out of this hole is going to make it a little difficult to do anything right now.
Oh, you're going to talk out of the hole. It's not a very big one. Okay, the next sitting next to you is a young lady by the name of Ida Offit. Is she related to you, Bill?
She happens to be my wife.
She does. Well, may I meet Mrs. Offit? How are you, Ida?
Fine, thank you.
Ida, what are your plans after college?
I would like to be a Spanish teacher.
You're going to be a teacher, too?
Yes.
Wonderful. We need good teachers. Okay. How long have you been married, Ida?
Almost 5 months.
Oh, well, congratulations. Now, may I meet Don Piper?
Yes, sir, right here.
Don, what is your plan? What are your plans after college?
I have to serve a few years in the Air Force, and then I'll probably be back to school after that.
For graduate study in what field?
Government and politics.
I see. Okay. Now, Ken Stunkel, what are your plans after college?
I'd like to study anthropology at Columbia University.
And your major now at Maryland?
In sociology.
In sociology. Okay, fine. We've met the challenging team tonight. Now, let's go up to Brown Pembroke. You know, up in Providence, I want to meet tonight the alternate for the Brown Pembroke team. Tom McCormick, will you do the honors and introduce these alternates who have suited up now for 5 weeks but are yet to get in the game?
I sure will, Al. First, I'd like to introduce the alternate from Pembroke, Mary Siegel.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Al.
Mary, what's your major at Pembroke?
Well, my major is really at the Rhode Island School of Design, and it's advertising art.
But you are a Pembroke girl student, right?
Yes. They have a coordinate program where you can take professional art for credit at Pembroke.
I see. And you are a junior or senior?
Junior.
A junior. All right. Now, Tom, let's meet the alternate from Brown.
Yeah, he's our six-foot man on the squad here. He's Jack Samanchi. Say hello, Jack.
Hiya, Jack.
Hi, Al.
Jack, what's your major at college?
Well, it's a relatively new field of concentration called American Civilization. It's a comprehensive history major, including such subjects as political science, philosophy, literature, and economics.
Well, mentioning those subjects, Jack, gets me back to the competition here. I've got a toss-up question that's going now, and I think it's about time to wind up the middle break, right?
Okay,
Alan. Right it is, Alan. And with the score, as we said, Maryland minus 10, Brown 155, but still a chance to go. 10 minutes to go. How about another toss-up question?
All right, here's the toss-up question. Now, may I point out to both of you teams to listen very carefully, because this is a word relationship question. This is a word relationship question for 10 points. Opulent is to wealthy as artless is to which of these? Indigenous, ingenious, ingenuous. Brown Pembroke?
Tom McCormick. It's ingenuous.
That's right. It is ingenuous. All right. Okay. We go now to a bonus question worth 30 points, Brown Pembroke. American secretaries of state are often remembered because of their association with particular policies or events in our relations with other countries. Now, we're going to award 10 points for each secretary of state that you can identify correctly. The first one was associated with European recovery.
Marshall.
Right. Secretary of State George C. Marshall. All right, for 10 points. Now, he is remembered in connection with the open door.
John Hay.
He's a brown man for 10 points. All right. He was the guiding light of the Washington Naval Disarmament Conference.
Hamilton
Fish.
1920.
The Washington Naval Disarmament
Charles Conference. Charles Evans Hughes?
Right for 10 points.
Hey, another brown man.
I didn't know that. I should have known. All right. Here we go now. Back to a toss-up question for 10 points. What contemporary writer was born in Paris, studied in England, France, and Germany, practiced medicine in London, traveled extensively in the South Seas and Far East? Brown Pembroke.
Tom McCormick here.
Somerset Maugham.
That's right. You interrupted me. The rest of the question was to be, and this week celebrated his 80th birthday.
Oh.
Okay. You got the right answer. William Somerset Maugham. Okay, here we go with a 20-point bonus, Brown Pembroke. You know, in the 18th century, the poets declare that when a woman stoops to folly, about all she can do is to die.
But if you remember, T.S. Eliot had quite another idea about the 20th century woman who stooped to folly. And you're going to get 20 points now if you can tell us what Eliot's woman does.
She talks of Michelangelo.
The stoops of folly. It is a specific thing he described very accurately. In the wasteland, I will add.
Oh, boy.
Time, Mr. McGregor? You know it. You would know it if you knew it. Okay, here it is. I'll tell you. When lovely woman stoop to folly...
She plays cards.
...and faces about her room again, alone, she smooths her hair with automatic hand and puts a record on the gramophone. Okay, now back to a toss-up question. Marilyn, are you there? Okay, here we go. Brown Pembroke. For 10 points, who was the vice presidential candidate when James Cox ran for president? Brown Pembroke.
Tom McCormick here.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Right. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Democratic candidate in 1920. Okay, and now we're going to have a music bonus, Brown Pembroke. A music bonus. It has to do with instruments in the orchestra. We're going to play 3 compositions, each having a musical instrument in its title. And for 10 points each, you are to name the instrument. Okay, here's the first one.
Violin.
Strings.
The magic flutes.
That's right, the magic flute. The instrument in the title of the composition, and you got it for 10 points. All right, now name the instrument in the title of this composition.
Piccolo.
Oboe.
All right, time.
Clarinet.
I heard it.
Clarinet.
Not too late, Mr. McGregor. Yeah, I'm sorry it was a little late and too many. You don't take too many chances on these because you're bound to get it. But that was the clarinet polka. All right, here we go. Now hit this on the nose or don't. You don't get it at all. What is the instrument in this composition, Titus? That is a theme, a recognizable theme from...
Clavichord.
The Drum Roll Symphony by Haydn. Symphony number 103. Okay, now we go back to a toss-up question. And incidentally, this toss-up question is about a great man of music. He was a great man of music who was commissioned to write a Requiem Mass. Brown Pembroke.
Tom McCormick here.
Mozart.
That's it. That's the answer. That was the answer before I asked the question. I will, though, for the benefit of all concerned, read the question. He said that he felt he were writing his own requiem, and in fact, he died at 35 years of age. For 10 points, tell us his name. And, Tom, was that Tom or Cal Woodhouse?
Tom McCormick.
Tom McCormick, you got the name before I asked the question. And here we go now with a 25-point bonus. For 15 points, I want you to identify and give the lines that follow this familiar line of poetry. When I was 1 and 20, I heard a wise man say...
It's a toss-up.
Give pounds and pounds and rubies and not your heart away.
But now I... That's right. When I was 1 and 20 by A.E. Houseman.
Yeah. That's right. And would you give me the next lines then again, Judy? Was that you, Judy?
Give crowns and pounds and rubies, but not your heart away.
I'll accept that. It's crowns and pounds and guineas.
Yeah,
but not your heart away.
You
know, those famous unforgettable lines by E.E. Houseman remind me of one of the finer songs that seems to be destined for great popularity. It's just beginning to get around the country. You're going to earn 10 points now if you can give us the title of it after we hear this sample. But wait till the music fades. You're listening for the title of this song.
You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams.
Wait till the music fades.
And life gets more exciting with each passing day.
Now this is not a talk, this is Brown's
phone. Love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth?
What is the name of that song, Brown? This is in relation to...
A Song in Your Heart. No, Tom. What's wrong with you?
All right, I'm sorry. It is Young at Heart, a very fine new song that's coming up with Frank Sinatra. Okay, we're going back now to a toss-up question, and Roger, better refresh us on that score.
I'd rather not, for Maryland's sake. They're minus 10. Brown's 250. We've got 3 minutes to go. Let's get back to the question.
Okay, here's a toss-up question for 10 points. Tell us, what painter often signed his paintings with a picture of a butterfly? Time.
Ron Pembroke.
Jane Balsall.
Whistler.
Right. James Monique McNeil Whistler. Okay, here we go now with a 30-point bonus, Ron Pembroke. It's a three-part bonus on sports counterparts. You're going to get 10 points each time you give us the counterpart. For instance, give me the counterpart of the Yankees' Yogi Berra on the Dodgers team.
Campanella.
Right, Campanella, the Dodger catcher. Right, now Maureen Connolly is currently the United States National Women's Singles Champion, really the queen of tennis. For 10 points, who is the king? Or more specifically, who is
Tony Trabert.
Yeah. Tony Trabert, right. Who is the national singles champion among the members of the question? Okay. Trabert was the answer.
Oh.
Lynn Patrick is coach of the Boston Bruins in the National Hockey League. Who is his counterpart in the New York Rangers organization? You don't know? I'll tell you, it's Murray Muzz Patrick, his brother, who was recently appointed Ranger coach. Okay, we go now back to a toss-up question. For 10 points, tell us, what is the name of the boy out of a nursery rhyme with the low intelligence quotient who tried to carry water in a sieve? Marilyn.
Ken Stunkel.
Was that Simple Simon?
That was Simple Simon, Marilyn. For 10 points. Okay, and coming up now is a 40-point bonus. A 40-point bonus, you know. Although it has been said that all that glitters is not gold, gold has often played a very prominent role in both fact and fiction. And you're going to get 10 points each time that you can tell us what gold had to do with, one, the legend of King Midas.
Everything he touched turned to gold.
Right, for 10 points. What did gold have to do with the life of James W. Marshall?
He discovered gold at Sutter's Mill in California.
Right, in 1848, precipitated the gold rush. All right. What did gold have to do in the fairy tale of Rumpelstiltskin?
He counted gold, I believe.
No, sorry. He spun gold out of straw. All right, tell us, what does gold have to do with Plato's Republic? The noble lie. Do you know Plato's Republic, the noble lie? According to Plato, either all the rulers of the city are born with gold in them, the protectors of the city with silver, and the workers of the city with iron and brass. That, of course, may I refer you to Plato, not me. All right, here we go. 10 points, a toss-up question. 10 points. Who said there was never a good war or a bad peace? No takers? Benjamin Franklin in a letter to Josiah Quincy, September 11, 1773. All right, here we go. For 10 points, name a New England landmark that is also a breed of chicken. Ron Pembroke.
Jane Balsall.
The Rhode Island Red.
Can you take it, Marilyn? Can you take it, Marilyn? The answer is Plymouth Rock.
Just got it in the time, Alan, because that's the game for this week. The final score on the College Quiz Bowl is 20 points for the University of Maryland and 280 points for the six-time winner, Brown Pembroke. To each member of the Maryland team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches, since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, Brown Pembroke will receive a $500 gift to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Brown Pembroke will return next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars of Smith College for Women at Northampton, Massachusetts. Now here once again is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Okay, may I congratulate Brown Pembroke, and may I say to you fine people from the University of Maryland, Bill Offutt, Ida Offutt, John Piper, and Ken Stunkel, you did a great job, and it's been great having you here in the College Quiz Bowl. Next week, Brown Pembroke meets Smith. And in the weeks to follow, we'll have varsity scholars from Indiana University, Washington and Lee University, the University of Chicago, and other outstanding colleges and universities all over the nation. So we hope you'll be with us next week and every Sunday for an exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl. Now, this is Alan Ludden saying so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were for Brown Pembroke, Russ Van Arsdale of Station WJAR in Providence, and for the University of Maryland, Mac McGarry of Station WRC in Washington. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, directed by Ken McGregor. This is Roger Tuttle speaking.